Poetry Rocks, Tool 16, The Informalist. The purpose of this tool is to work and play with sound in your poems by focusing on the formality or informality of your language through deliberately choosing your diction and syntax, and also to practice directing the voice of your writing. And here's a little background. Remember our conversation about diction, the individual word choices, and syntax, the arrangement of those words? A poet's diction and syntax affect the sound of a poem in many ways, and they will certainly dictate the degree of formality, which can be anywhere from swingy, slangy, casual, to elegantly, crisply formal. This is a good time to introduce the term voice, the quality that makes a writer's work unique. Voice can be thought of as a writer's overall style, created through her diction, syntax, and punctuation, as well as the way she handles her subjects, develops her characters, conveys her settings, etc. Wikipedia uses the apt comparison of musical instruments in discussing writer's voice. And here's a quote I really like, seeing as how I love music so much. As a trumpet has a different voice than a tuba, or a violin has a different voice than a cello, so the words of one author have a different sound than the words of another. As voice is created by both the words used and the way they're arranged, one aspect of voice is how formal or informal a poem or a piece of writing is. Voice, including its degree of formality, is often very heavily tied to the writer's era, educational background, cultural background, and experiences. While each writer has her own overall voice, you can control the voice of individual pieces of writing through the words you select and the way you arrange them. Short sentences and simple one- and two-syllable words will obviously create a very different informal effect than the formal effect of long sentences and multisyllabic words. Here's a short list of what can give writing, whether it's poetry or prose, a formal feel. Not using contractions. I will is more formal than I'll. Using inversions. That's very formal. Have you not versus haven't you, for example. And in a poem I'll share with you below, by Robert Louis Stevenson, he says, white flows the river versus the river flows white. And that's another inversion. Using multisyllabic words and using words not normally used in conversation. And of course, the opposite will give writing an informal feel. Using contractions, not using inversions, not using many multisyllabic words, and using words normally used in conversation. I'm going to read you this poem by Robert Louis Stevenson. It's a beautiful love poem called I Will Make You Brooches. And as you read or as you listen, see if you can pull out the specific word choices and the arrangement of those words that makes it a very formal poem. I will make you brooches. I will make you brooches and toys for your delight of birdsong at morning and starshine at night. I will make a palace fit for you and me of green days in forests and blue days at sea. I will make my kitchen, and you shall keep your room where white flows the river and bright blows the broom. And you shall wash your linen and keep your body white in rainfall at morning and dewfall at night. And this shall be for music when no one else is near, the fine song for singing, the rare song to hear, that only I remember, that only you admire, of the broad road that stretches and the roadside fire. And, of course, some of the formality of that poem comes just from the fact that Robert Louis Stevenson wrote it a long time ago, and I'm sure it would not have sounded as formal in the days that he was reading it aloud as it does to us in these days. So now it's your turn, and here's what to do. You're going to consciously use diction and syntax to control the level of formality or informality in your poem and to create its voice. So write a poem or take one that you've been working on. Decide ahead of time how formal or informal you'd like it to be. You will really want to play with its diction and syntax first, maybe by deliberately making it more informal and then more formal. And when you decide what level of formality best serves your subject matter, you can settle in on those particular choices. So here's my example. I'm actually going to read you two poems, one in which I deliberately choose to be more formal and one where I choose to be a little more informal. The first one, Voice Lessons, was written when a close friend of mine was losing one of her brothers to cancer. I had such a hard time knowing what and how to say anything to her that could possibly be of comfort. And I came across some beautiful lines about grief in a book by the poet Linda Pastan. And I decided to take those words and use them as an epigraph. And I strove to use a voice similar to Pastan's slightly formal one, using simple words but a more lyrical syntax that was caused in part through repetition. And that poem, Voice Lessons, goes like this, and here's the epigraph. When my griefs sing to me from the bright throats of thrushes, I sing back. Is it the smell of hyacinths in the house that makes you notice people falling all around you, falling for want of words? A boy loses a father, a boy you knew only once, on a summer evening catching fireflies. And mostly, you remember his face was dirty. Still, to lose a father, you want a word. But you can't find one, so you are silent. Finally, you understand why people turn their heads away, won't look grief in the eye. Now someone you love is losing a brother, and again, the silence reaches up to strangle the words in your throat. For what do you know? Is it enough to listen to Chimarosa while you knead bread for her, pat comfort into the dough? Is it enough to plant a garden, to teach your son Pieris as you show him their pendulous blossoms, to hear him love the word, make a litany of it, affirm over and over, Pieris, 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 is, is, as though he'd been born to learn how to sing. And in the second poem, I'm capturing the experience of opening a box that my mother gave me, and I wanted to choose very simple conversational language because of the subject as I'm exploring the contents of this box. And because this is a poem of address where I'm speaking directly to my mother, I think the more informal, very conversational language and syntax just suits it much better. So this is for Mother, as I sort through this box of clothes you saved for a granddaughter. I remember sitting in the tub, you washing my hair, a halo around your head where light met the steam. I was telling you how much I loved being 8, that I wanted to be 8 forever. And then I was 9 and so happy to be 9. I wanted that age to last forever too. Then 10. The years clicking by like Hail Marys on your rosary beads till I would want nothing more than to leave you. But that year, my 8th, you bought me this candy-striped pink and white dress with a whale applique on it. I remember wanting to cry when I tried it on the next summer and it no longer fit. Though I didn't say a word, you came home one day carrying an identical dress in the next larger size, proving something about love I've never found words to thank you for. And here's a reflection for you. Do you gravitate toward writers on one end of the formality scale or the other? How formal or informal does your writing tend to be? How might you incorporate what you've learned as you've used this tool as you continue writing? And if you're interested in honing your craft, here's a couple things for you to do. Take note of how formal or informal the work of poets you admire is. Study the diction, syntax, and voice that creates this effect. As you write your own poems and prose, be conscious of the formality and informality of your diction and syntax and the way they affect your voice.